Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, October 15th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lee.
I'm Leo Laporte.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with you, coming to you live from Blog World New Media Expo 2010.
That's why it's kind of quiet
Vegas,
in
Nevada.
Here.
Nevada. Everyone's blogging.
Shh.
Be quiet. We're actually broadcasting from the blogworldradio.com booth right here at Blog World. Blog World has partnered with the WS Radio Networks out of San Diego. They were nice enough to let us commandeer the booth for
We're using their ISDN line, their gear, so that's why the audio sounds so darn good.
Yeah. This is not Skype audio.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Skype for the crappy video, though.
Yeah, they're doing a great job with that.
Thanks, Skype.
First story on the docket today is Angry Birds coming to Android.
Yeah.
So they tried to do something. Rovio tried to do something a little weird here. They gave an exclusive to GetJar, which is one of those third-party app marketplaces, and GetJar crashed.
Because
GetJar just failed under the weight of the people. And they said, we didn't expect this many people wanted
it's
to get Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
How could they not expect it? Everyone in the entire world, besides Tom and me, I think, is addicted to Angry Birds.
We are the entire
playing it right now.
Leo's an addict.
I'm playing it right now.
He never stops.
Are you playing it on Android?
On Android.
Look
well,
at that.
It's been a beta for a while
on
Android.
Oh, so you had the beta. Okay.
So, and there was always a button on the beta that says, buy it, you know, and it had it, by the way, an Android Marketplace icon.
Yeah.
But it brings you to a web page where you sign up for a mailing list. So it's always been a little bit of frustration.
Well, that,
I don't know how they're going to tell people, because I don't look at what, I don't even never heard of this other
right.
marketplace. How do I get it?
Well, they gave up. They were going to give a 24-hour exclusive to GetJar, but now it is apparently available in the Android market already. They were
going
to give it to him tomorrow, but they said, you know what? You can't get it from GetJar. It's just Jar
now.
And
that's just angry people.
Yeah, and we don't want that. We want birds.
Keep it birds.
Not angry people.
This is important.
Keep it foul.
Because for a long time, Android was really second place to iPhone in gaming, and there was some, I think there's some thought that maybe it wasn't as good. You couldn't write games that are good on an Android, and you can. You know, people didn't develop for Android because iPhone was the platform. And now that Android's a huge platform, they're writing for it. And you're going to see all the great games available on Android, in some cases before on Apple.
Erica Ogg over at CNET. Would have loved to get her on the show today if I could. Smaller MacBook Air is on Apple's agenda. According to a source she has, the Air will sport an older version of Intel's Core processor. The spec sheet will list NVIDIA's MCP89 chipset and which is the same chipset, by the way, that's used in the current 13-inch MacBook Pro. Apple will also show that the new MacBook Air has a longer battery life. They don't know if it's going to have anything really nifty like instant on, but it's going to be smaller.
I thought it was the same chip as in the MacBook, but not the Pros.
Well, it's the 13-inch MacBook is the MacBook
Pro. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right.
All rumors.
This is a source Erica Ogg says she's talked to.
We'll know on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
What I want to know is, okay, let's just assume that this is true. Who's going to... Do we need a MacBook Air?
We've heard the whole story.
Is anyone excited?
I think, you know, really this, as you can tell from the invitation, is all about OS X 10.7 Lion.
Right.
And the rumors have been that there's something significantly new about the OS. There has to be. Otherwise, why bother even announcing a new OS? So I think there's going to be multi-touch. I think you're going to have touchscreen laptops. I find myself now, because I use the iPhone and Android so much, touching my laptop screen all the time.
Me too. In fact,
that would make an interesting MacBook Air development.
Exactly.
As if they
Bingo.
Had. It's smaller, it's lighter, better battery life, and it has a touchscreen.
You like iPad, but you wanted a keyboard? We've got something for
now
you.
Now we've got, yeah. And that,
something
then
in
it,
the middle.
Then it makes sense. I do hope. Maybe it's just hope, not knowledge. But I hope they actually refresh the rest of the MacBook Pro line.
Do they get rid of the 13-inch MacBook, though, at that point?
No, I don't think so. You still have 13, 15, and 17. Get rid of the 17. That thing's way too big.
I've got a 17,
it is too big.
It doesn't fit in anything.
It's ginormous. I tried to talk you out of
big
it.
Enough.
Yeah.
It's good for editing.
I have a
15.
I crave the 13 often. I look at my daughter's Air and I think that's nice. But it's so underpowered. That's been the problem with the Air, is it's just sluggish.
If you think about it as an overpowered iPad, does that change anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why touch, and perhaps, and this is the other rumor, some sort of iOS compatibility, perhaps the ability to install Angry Birds.
Yeah. If it was an Air running iOS or had an iOS emulator or virtualizer.
By the way, I've just installed Angry Birds on Android. It's free right now,
the full Angry Bird.
That's pretty exciting.
What's also exciting is this episode is brought to you by Ford and Voice Activated Sync. I've seen it in action. Leo and I went for a ride out by the cows.
I took Tom for a ride. But today, you know, the Ford's here. And today they are showing the Ford Focus, which the new 2012 Focus, or maybe it'll be available in 2011, is amazing. I drove the Edge, the 2011 Mustang, all with this. The Edge had the MyFord Touch, which is the next generation up from Sync. It's incredible. You know, a funny thing happened to me the other day in my Ford. I was driving along, and you know the little gas light comes on because you're getting low on the gas?
Mm-hmm.
And the GPS, all the gas stations lit up all of a sudden. So it said,
ooh,
maybe you need some gas, here's where you could go.
Love that touch.
It's little things like that that make Ford Sync amazing.
That the didn't idea, annoy you? You're like, don't tell me when I want gas.
Well, the funny thing is, I've had this thing for years.
You know how that all ends, Tom.
Yeah, right. It's on the road somewhere with your thumb out.
Pay attention to your Ford voice-activated sync.
I'm not listening to you, car.
You keep your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road, and yet you can do hands-free calling. You can do, if you have an Android phone, it'll read your text messages to you in a sexy robotic voice. It will let you play songs, play podcasts. You could say, I want to listen to Tech News Today, and it'll play it for you from your iPod or any, you know, it's got a USB connector. I just love Ford Sync. I am such a fan.
911 assist and more. If you're ever in an accident, your airbag deploys, Sync automatically calls 911 for you.
Happens to me all the time.
I hope not. If you'd like to learn more about Sync, go to SyncMyRidePodcast.com. Sync is standard in some Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury models and optional in others. Check them out, SyncMyRidePodcast.com. We thank them for their support of Tech News Today. AMD's chief executive, Dirk Meyer, said, yeah, tablets, they're eating our lunch a little bit. He says nobody knows how much, but they are definitely having an impact on the sales of netbooks and notebooks. He says we're still trying to build up AMD's presence in laptops, though. So we're 2 years out from trying to make chips for tablets.
You know who knows? Intel knows. Intel knows exactly how many tablets are selling and exactly how many notebooks are not selling and netbooks are not selling.
Although they don't have the chip in the iPad, right?
No,
so they just
Apple.
Take that number from Apple, which is fairly well bounded around, 12 million or something like that.
I think everybody agrees. I mean, look, we knew because the chairman of Best Buy said, oh, yeah, we're not selling very many netbooks. And then he said, oh, never mind. And then 2 days later, no, oops, I was wrong about that.
Yeah, everybody made a big deal out of it. And then he said, oh, this all got blown in proportion. But
no.
He meant it.
We know this is the fact. And, you know, their projections now for the iPad in 2011 are something like 20 to, depending on who you talk to, 20 to 45 million units in 1 year.
Yeah, on a recent iPad Today, they were saying 40.
Yeah.
Projected.
Yeah.
After 12 of this year, because it was way more than, well over half.
And Gartner came out with numbers today saying media tablet sales on pace to reach 19.5 million units in 2010.
Well, of which, if 12 million are iPads, what are the others?
Who are the others? Arcos?
Samsung Galaxy Tab will sell a bunch over the holidays.
That's projected.
Yeah, they think. And then there's a bunch of little tablets, Android tablets, that are already out there right now. There's a bunch more going to launch by the holiday season. So I guess that makes up the other. The biggest part of that number is going to be iPad by the end of the year, for sure.
Lends credence to this idea that they might do a Touch Air, because this might be Apple saying we can really cannibalize that netbook market if we take some of the things people love about the iPad and put it into a notebook. Now we're really going to own that market.
Now, Gartner also breaks it up between 7-inch and 10-inch tablets. They see the 10-inch tablet starting to become more popular in the enterprise. So they're talking about the iPad when they talk about 10-inch.
Dude, I was at the airport. I saw, you know, when we were leaving at the airport, a lot of people had iPads. I mean, this is blog world, so a lot of people have iPads, but I see them everywhere now. Everybody has them.
We were leaving SFO. Not everybody was coming to blog world. They're all over the place.
A ton of iPads, weren't there? You noticed that, too? Yeah.
I mean, in May, it was still, you know, people would stare at you when you pulled the iPad out in public.
Ooh,
wow,
can I
you
see
got
that?
One? Oh, my gosh.
Now people stare at you when you don't.
What are you doing?
You don't have an iPad? What's wrong with you?
It's like you left your pants off.
That first couple of iPhone revs, it was still weird when you had an iPhone and people looked. With the iPad, we reached that point where it wasn't so weird anymore really quickly, it felt
like.
Well,
and now people apologize if they don't have an iPhone. I was just talking to somebody, a publicist who had pulled out her BlackBerry, and she literally went into a five-minute apology. For not having an iPhone.
Not at Google. When you're at Google,
not at Google,
they
not,
apologize for having an iPhone.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that happens is something like Instagram is a great example of something that's really taken off, but it's only the iPhone folks who are in on the fun.
And I dusted off the old iPhone to do that because
right.
I love Instagram.
Yeah. But that's, you know, it can shut out folks as well.
Well, let's move over to the Federal Communications Commission because they're hot right now. These guys are excited about tweaking the cable card rules. Cable card's the thing that allows you to get your cable subscription over whatever device you want. You got a TiVo, you put a cable card in it. The theory is you get your service and you can buy the equipment. You don't have to rent it from the company. The companies have been a little loath to encourage this sort of behavior, so the Congress asked the FCC to tweak the rules. The FCC is being a little truculent. Senator Fritz Hollings had said, "The ox is in the ditch, and I hope this report will help pull the poor ox out and get him moving again."
Thank you, Fritz.
To which Robert McDowell, one of the FCC commissioners, said, "Well, because Congress told us to, we are taking another stab at a remedy today. Perhaps this time Sisyphus will get his boulder to actually stay on top of the hill.
Holy cow.
But should it roll back into the valley of unattained goals, some may want to ask Congress to consider new options."
What is it, Metaphor Day in Washington, D.C.?
Seriously.
That's
literary.
You know, I thought they were abandoning cable card. It's been roundly acknowledged to be a complete failure because, as you say, the cable companies don't want you to use
cable card. No one's ever
heard
of it.
And not enough hardware supports it. So, you know, even if you figured out where that cable card is at your cable company, the dusty one in the back, we have one of those. You'd have to find a device to put it in. Now, there's a new technology that I think they're kind of promoting instead of cable card.
True two-way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
they're
another
building,
thing.
That has to be built into the box,
that's
though.
Right.
It's not a card that you get and put in. Yeah.
But I think you're getting more support from consumer electronics device manufacturers. And that was one limitation of cable card. It was one way. And everybody wants two-way services like video on demand
there
now.
Is the multi-stream cable card. But that allows you to record one show while simultaneously watching another. It doesn't necessarily give you all of the other stuff.
I think that Sisyphus was absolutely right that the oxen, he should push the oxen out of the ditch and get on with his life.
Yeah. The new rules, by the way, if you're interested, you can self-install. You have the right. They can't tell you can't self-install.
Good.
Some cable companies were like,
send
we have to stick that card in the slot for you. So that goes away. You can't charge more for a cable card than you would as part of a leased set-top box. They have to give you clearer pricing information. They require cable companies to provide users with support if something goes wrong.
No, I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Bandwidth-saving delivery method called Switch Digital Video has to be supported, and multi-stream cable cards are now mandated. Really, these rules don't do much.
So they're going to let people self-install but then give support when they do it wrong?
Well,
no wonder they wanted to control it themselves.
It's your own fault. You self-installed it.
Yeah. Now we have to support you. We're going to glare at you the whole time.
We mentioned yesterday that Verizon is going to be selling the iPad, the Wi-Fi-only iPad, bundled with Verizon MiFis for the internet service. Turns out today they're going to have multiple plans, 3 gigabyte and 5 gigabyte data plans, along with the one they announced yesterday, which is a 1 gigabyte plan. And they're cheaper than the normal MiFi plans. If you get a Verizon iPad, your 3 gigabyte plan costs $35 a month. Your 5 gigabyte plan costs $50 a month.
Ooh.
And how much are you? You've got a MiFi.
It's $60 a month for the 5 gigabyte without an iPad.
Right.
What I don't know is, are these MiFis going to be locked to iOS somehow? Because they can do that. They did. Clear does that. They sell a device that's like it will only connect to an iOS device that's meant for Apple users.
I don't think that's going to be, well, I guess you could do it, but I mean, the whole idea of Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi is Wi-Fi, and if you've got a MiFi card, it should be an access point that doesn't say, well, I've got to have an iOS device.
And then you can share it with 4 other devices besides your iPad.
Yeah.
So the way to get a MiFi now is to buy an iPad.
I think, you know, we saw this with Sprint, where they used Virgin Mobile to sell budget price 3G when they moved to 4G, right? They said, well, $60 for the 4G, we'll give you the 3G for less. And I think that now that Verizon's moving to LTE very aggressively, this may just be the beginning of that.
I wonder how many MiFi users like myself will call up and try to get the, like, hey, if I buy an iPad, you give it to me for $50.
You know, when I bought the Droid X, I basically traded it in, my MiFi in for the Droid X, because of the tethering on the Droid X is cheaper than MiFi.
What was it Wozniak was saying when we talked to him earlier this week? He gets the Palm
Oh, he uses the Palm Pre. Sprint has a very cheap.
With the hotspot on Sprint. It's the cheapest.
It's like $10
Wi-Fi
or $20
type device. Yeah.
I have the unlimited plan for the iPad. I'm one of the luckies. I wouldn't know whether I wanted a 3 gig or a 5 gig plan.
Yeah, right.
I know I'd need over one.
No, you've got a plan.
But I'm not actually sure how much data I'm using each month.
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't have to think about it.
I wouldn't. If someone asked me, what do you think? I wouldn't know
the answer.
You have
to go online and
check.
Actually, you check in your iPad. It'll tell you.
You can check, but I mean, I don't know what general usage. I guess you kind of just gotta.
It really depends. You know, if you use a lot of Wi-Fi, then you don't need the 3G. And if you don't have access to the Wi-Fi, well, obviously 3G becomes very important.
Security Week has an interesting story posted up on Slashdot about a security silver lining to errors that arise in NAND flash chips. So some researchers have looked at this and found a unique profile can be created for any device using NAND flash based on the errors. And they can't reproduce it. You can introduce errors, but you can't introduce exactly the same errors as exist naturally.
It's like me falling down and scraping my knee, and you can't recreate that completely.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I'm playing Angry Birds.
So like
this is, we talked about this on Security Now. There's two techniques. There's this EverCookie technique, and there's another technique. I can't remember the name, but you can do this in general. There are unique identifiers on any machine. What version numbers you're using of 10 different programs, plus the screen resolution you're using, plus this. You combine them together. You can identify any machine uniquely with JavaScript pretty trivially.
Is it practical to use this as your own identification somehow?
No. I mean,
as a negative because people could track
tracking
you.
Cookie.
But what if we used it as a login?
Ah, that's interesting.
As say, like, hey, nobody else can be me because this is my machine.
It's your fingerprint.
Yeah,
we do that in Unix with SSH logins using public key cryptography. I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
The problem is it's hard to change. In fact, you can't on NAND that identifier. Not good to use an identifier that can't be changed.
That's true. Well, but if it can't be spoofed,
then
it doesn't ever need
it?
To be changed. Never say never on the spoofing.
Never say never. I'm sure there's a good reason. It's like your social security number.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good identity number, really, because it's unique and can't be changed.
Yeah. Though it can easily be spoofed.
But once it's compromised, you're dead.
And once you're dead, they give it to somebody else.
That's the beauty of social security.
It's the never-ending circle of social security.
Yeah.
I wonder who had mine before me.
That'd be neat if you could look that up somehow.
I would love to know that.
If anyone. All right, let's move on to the news fuse. You didn't have to provide that.
Is that you have a recording for that?
MPD released their September U.S. video game sales numbers, and it ain't pretty. Hardware sales were down 19%, software sales down 6%, although accessory sales were up 13%. Microsoft announced they were the number one console in the U.S. with 484,000 units sold during the month, up 37% from last September. Sony and Nintendo sales reportedly declined.
And this is before Kinect becomes available.
I know. It's pretty, and that's why Microsoft's touting it to the stars right now.
PocketLint.com caught a lucky break at a New York press event, snapping a few pictures of an unnamed person with a white iPhone. The anonymous white phone wielder told the site that Apple's having trouble getting its two suppliers in the Far East to match the white used in the manufacturing of the parts. The white home button currently, the color, doesn't match the white front faceplate color. Which makes me wonder, even if they get it to match, is it going to dull? Is part of the phone going to go weird in 6 months?
Remember, they had that problem with the white laptop.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why they're so hesitant, I guess. The New York Times has updated its iPad app to be full New York Times, not the editor's choice New York Times,
like
its phone apps. The content is free for now, too, but they do say when the paywall kicks in early next year, readers will be required to pay a subscription for full access. I guess some of the stories will still be free. In the meantime, registration is still required for most of the content. But yeah, if you just upgrade the iPad app, you should get the full access now.
Anonymous has struck again, using DNS cache poisoning to deface the MPAA website. CopyProtected.com, which reports violations of the copy protection controls on DVDs and Blu-ray discs. The hijacked domain name pointed to an IP with their own web server displaying the logo of the Pirate Bay.
Of course. Ebook sales are up 193%, according to the Association for American Publishers, and make up 9% of all book sales. So it's good for ebooks. All Things D's Peter Kafka, however, put it into perspective for us. Quote, people have spent more money going to see Clash of the Titans and the Expendables this year than they have on digital ink.
Never mind.
Well, The Expendables was a really big movie.
It was a really
big
movie.
Was it a really good movie?
Clash of the Titans is the rounding error.
It beat Scott Pilgrim. I remember that.
Yeah, that's right.
What doesn't?
U.S. investment house Cohen & Co. forecasts that the Kindle sales will rise 140% during 2010, with shipments hitting 5 million units. But more importantly, Amazon's ebook business will grow 195% to 701 million. It's believed Amazon subsidizes the price of its hardware with ebook sales. So interestingly, the iPad may be helping keep down the price of the Kindle. Cohen found a third of iPad owners prefer to read ebooks using Amazon's app.
I do. I don't even pick up on Kindle anymore.
Or use iBooks?
No. I just use the Kindle store and Amazon app. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a
Facebook
favorite.
Users who are upset about the removal of the clear chat button that would clear out your chat history can stop being upset now. It's back.
Whew.
Turns out Facebook says they were just testing the removal to see how mad you would get, I guess, after it launched groups. Because they say hardly anybody uses it, but hardly anybody turns out to be a loud and angry group, so Facebook put it back, placing it at the top of the chat scroll where it's still easily accessible without cluttering up that UI space that Mark Sugar Mountain loves so much.
I get loud and angry, but I wonder how many. Sometimes a few loud and angry people still sound really loud and angry.
Especially to Facebook. They're used to
exactly.
that. Exactly. Finally, hotels are going to try to sue bedbugregistry.com, claiming false bedbug reports hurt business.
How do they prove it? We don't have any bed bugs. Stay here and see for yourself.
Some hotels want to take some action. They claim there's no way to redress against false reports, and they're being slandered and libeled and whatever else they can come up with.
I mean, how bad is this bed bug thing going on over there? I haven't been in New York in a while.
It's on their mind. I was in New York last week, and everybody was like, oh, did you check bed bug registry before you went to the hotel?
Did you have bed bug problems?
No, I did not. Thankfully. Luckily, I did not. Yeah, but
did you
apparently
check
it's
bed
a big,
bug registry?
I did not. I went blind.
Ooh.
I know. It's risky. I like to live on the edge.
I wonder if your hotel is one of the angry hotels.
It was not. I checked it later.
Okay.
And I didn't get any bed bugs that I know of. But bedbugregistry.com sounds like it could be subject to people saying, spoofing. I don't like that.
I mean, so, it's user-submitted tips, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like a Yelp thing. You know, if
seems
a business
like it,
doesn't
right.
want you to go to the hotel across the street, they might say, ooh, bad bed bug outbreak.
Right.
I did sleep in a hammock above the bed at my hotel. I don't know if that...
With a mosquito net around you?
Yeah, exactly.
Should we move on to the calendar?
Yes, let's do.
All right. Samsung has just pushed out the official Android 2.2 Froyo update for its Galaxy S, as promised. Nordic countries get it now, and the rest of us get it gradually rolled out. So Nordic being
like
Norway.
Sweden, all the Nokia
Finland,
countries.
Yeah.
I guess that's why they're really wanting to stick at the Nokia right now, but well, the rest of us can wait for it.
Well, at least they're on schedule. And this is a good one. IMDb turns 20 this Sunday.
Wow.
20.
Happy
20
birthday, IMDb.
Old.
That was the first website I ever visited.
Really?
IMDb.
How do you know it was the first website?
Because I was on the web at Ian's place. I mean, I was at Ian's place, and he had his Macintosh, and he's like, "Have you checked out the web yet?"
Wow.
And he's like, and I was like, "No, I've heard about it." What he's like, "Here, check out IMDb. You can look up any movie, and it tells you who is in it."
Pretty
were
awesome.
You arguing about and a
just,
particular scene from Rocky
head.
II?
No, we were just talking about internet stuff.
And now IMDb was featured on the Windows Phone 7 launch as one of the featured tiles on Windows Phone 7. So it's
years.
Mainstream. It's establishment.
Thanks, IMDb.
On to the emails to TNT at twit.tv. Johan from Sweden, he'll be getting his Froyo update before us, said, I just wanted to add to yesterday's discussion about Apple's increased market share. This is regarding laptops and desktops. One thing to note is that you actually need a computer running Mac OS X in order to develop apps for iOS. The process of building and signing the final binary before submitting it to the App Store can only be done using Apple's Xcode, which is only available for Mac OS. With the success of iOS-equipped devices and the amount of people getting into iPhone, iPad development nowadays, it makes sense that they sell more desktops as a result. I don't know that that would be the big push, but that's a slice. Right?
Well, at most, I mean, there's 250,000 apps. At most, that's 250,000 more Macs. It's not a
although there's a lot of people who think they're going to do this that
maybe
get into it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a decision making like it's probably people who already have OS X who would mess around with it, but.
Next email comes from Jeff, who loves the show. He says, I was watching Good Morning America this morning, and Becky was showing off the TV hat thing she put on Tom a few days ago. Inside the hat, the iPhone was playing TNT. Nice touch, Becky.
It was playing TNT when we showed it on TNT. I thought she just did that, you know, to be nice, but
that's
apparently,
pretty cool.
She's a little...
Little cross promo.
Nice job, world.
I got a TV hat in my trunk for a year. She's just discovered it.
Really?
Yeah. That's the one where you put the iPod in a big visor that sticks out in front.
Yeah, and it hangs like up the front.
It. Yeah.
In your trunk?
Yeah, we did it on the Gizwiz.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I've been carrying it around a case.
We should have had you use that as your app cap on iPad today.
It would have been funny. I have it.
Maybe next week.
Next week.
Next right. week. There
yeah.
we go.
There, you've heard it here.
All right. So, Blog World, any comments about the show before we leave? It's been fun being here.
We had a little dance floor action last night.
That was fun.
It's good seeing some of the folks. There's in the biz,
largest
meeting new.
Cup of coffee is here. It's big enough to we could all get in for a hot tub.
Right?
You know, Eileen pointed that out to us before yeah. the show, and Tom and I said, yeah, how do they know? Have they been around the
they
world?
They have papers?
They got certified.
They did. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That was
today.
Our question.
They next. Certified it. Yeah.
Well,
that's awesome. Now we know.
I guess we can eat our words.
It's quite literally true. And just go right next door to the Radar Range exhibit. You can find out how to cook. And eat your own words.
Well,
something new for bloggers.
Angry
yeah.
words.
They have some strange things here. The Army's here. They
have a push-up contest.
Push-up contest. And when we walked by, now admittedly the convention had only been open for a couple of hours, but the record for push-ups was 12.
Leo I both said, listen, we're not in like Army shape, but I think we could probably do more than 12 push-ups in a sitting.
I think bloggers, as a rule, are a pasty-faced, weak bunch of people.
Yeah.
That is a stereotype that they're apparently proving.
Just doesn't take a lot of muscle to type.
You should go over there and do 13 push-ups. They probably got some guy.
I think the record's gone up since. Yeah.
I might just not and say I did.
Yeah. Also, Ford's here, and that was kind of fun. I took a Ford, I told you, Ford Edge, and Lisa, our CEO, took the Mustang, the 5.0 Mustang, out for
nice.
A ride. She squealed around the corners a little bit. It was fun. Yeah,
did you park?
Really cool. No, they won't let me park anymore. I'm kind of banned from that.
All right. Well, we thank the folks at blogworldradio.com for letting us use their booth right here at Blog World. They've been very accommodating, very nice. So
this
thanks
is a lot
to Chris
of work
and everybody.
And they're paying a lot of money to make this possible.
Yeah.
So.
Blog World has partnered with the WS Radio Networks out of San Diego. We appreciate their support. That's it for this edition of
thank
Tech
you,
News
Chris,
Today.
For helping us out.
Thanks again, Chris.
It.
And we will see you guys on Monday. Don't forget to visit us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, and you can give us a call. We will get some voicemails on Monday. Sorry we didn't get to any today. 260-TNT-SHOW is the number. Talk to you later.
Bye, everyone.